Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you all know, my birthday was this past week, and I don't know about you, but I always get a little more reflective around my birthday, more reflective than usual. It isn't uncommon for me to dig out old journals to help me reminisce and to be reminded of how far I have come. I've also got photo boxes filled with pieces of paper, scraps of things that never made their way into journals, pieces of paper, big and small, with hopes and dreams written upon them, prayers, ideas, lists. You all know I love a list. And in them, I found a piece of paper that had phrases from hymns and songs that have been significant to me. As I looked over the list, I remember writing it back in college and remember that these lyrics were prayers of mine that I prayed over and over again. Like this phrase, "Let my glad heart, while it sings, thee in all proclaim, and whatever the future brings, glorify thy name." Whatever the future brings. Or from that same hymn, "Not from sorrow, pain, or care, freedom dare I claim. This alone shall be my prayer, glorify thy name." I'd sing these for you, but all you would hear is my voice, while in my head I hear the band and the percussion and all the instruments. It sounds much different in my head, but you get the point. Also on the list of phrases on that list from hymns that have really spoken to me is the last phrase from "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." That phrase has been my mantra for years and years, and it still is. I almost had that on the cover of my ordination bulletin, because no matter how hard life has been, no matter how painful life has been, or healing from the pain has been, this phrase has grounded me. It's helped me to refocus. It's reminded me of the why I keep going. And it has empowered me to keep going. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. In a poetic way, it reminds me of when Jesus said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. Right? Jesus didn't say you shall love the Lord your God with a little bit of your heart and just a portion of your soul, maybe a sliver of your strength and maybe a small percentage of your mind. No. Jesus calls us to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our strength, and all of our minds. This kind of love is all-encompassing, requiring all of who we are and all that we have. Like in the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." And Luther says, what does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust God above all things. Not a few things, not some things, not certain things. All things. All. And in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is reminding us that money is a part of the all. He reminds us that fearing and loving and trusting God above all things means money too. Because the truth is that money has an idolatrous power that competes with God for allegiance in our lives. And so we hear that the man comes to Jesus in the gospel lesson wanting what he does to be good enough. He doesn't want to let go of the hold he has on his money and offer it to God not his all. He wants to hold on to that, which is one of the ways that money becomes an idol. It convinces us to trust it more than we trust God. Money has the temptation to cause us to want money more than we want God. And so this man, he's a good guy. He hasn't murdered. He hasn't committed adultery. He honored his parents, right? The way we would say this in the modern era would say, yeah, I'm a good person, right? He is a good person. But brothers and sisters, that's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what Jesus calls us to. We aren't called to just be good people. We are called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our souls. It's not enough to be a good person, to do certain things and to not do other things in different areas of our lives. God wants every area of our lives, every single bit of who we are, every single bit of our devotion, every single bit of our allegiance. God wants all of who we are and all that we have. God calls us to love the Lord our God, to fear, love, and trust God above all things, no exceptions. Now, don't get me wrong, money or wealth isn't a bad thing, but it has the power to so easily and so quickly become an idol for us. Jesus doesn't care about how much money we have, but he does care about how we use our money. And Jesus cares deeply about our values and our attitudes toward money. Because although money is a deeply personal subject, it's also a matter of faith. The way that we think about money, the way that we spend money, the way that we use our money is a reflection of our faith and what we believe about God, whether or not we want it to be. We can use our finances wisely and faithfully in ways that honor God, or our finances can become an idol. The way that we think about and use money reveals whether or not we fear, love, and trust God above all else. We, the church, Christ's disciples, we need to learn how to talk about money and stewardship in healthy and faithful ways. I think it's safe to say that most of us want to love God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength, with all that we have and all that we are. But sometimes maybe we just don't know how to do that. And then maybe there are other times when fear and anxiety, or perhaps even greed and selfishness, override that desire. We need to learn how to have open conversations, perhaps most often with ourselves, that consider how our thoughts and our convictions about money reflect our trust in God. Do we honestly love, fear, and trust God above all else? And for those of us that don't get it right all the time, which is all of us, just like the man in the gospel lesson, may we too listen to Jesus tell us the truth in love, so that yes, the Holy Spirit would convict us in the ways that we make money an idol, but that we may also hear when Jesus speaks the truth in love, that there isn't a spirit of judgment in his voice. Because just as Jesus saw and loved that man, Jesus sees and loves each of us with a heart of compassion in the midst of our disordered devotion, in the midst of our misplaced values and priorities that fully prevent us from loving and trusting God above all things. Sisters and brothers, may you know deep within you that Jesus sees you and loves you, so much so that he holds nothing back from you, including his very self, which he offers at this table. As we come forward, stop at the font and remember who you are and whose you are. And as Jesus nourishes you and strengthens you with his body and blood, may not just our voices, but may our lives sing, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." May it be so. Amen.